Hi guys, and welcome back to another new episode of Uni Therapy Podcast. My name is Kat. Always happy you're here. Always starting the podcast reminding you guys that this is not therapy, but I am a therapist. Today, I'm pretty pumped about the episode today, about the guest that I have today. It's somebody who I originally asked to come on the podcast and she said no. But she since has come around, and her name is Megan Repass. She is somebody I met years ago working at a treatment center, and she was part of the adventure team there, and you'll learn all about that. I won't spoil it now, but she is incredible. Incredible. Talk about somebody who is good at what they do, and talk about somebody who, honestly, if we go back to the episode I did about passion and purpose, she is a jackhammer type person with some hummingbird tendencies, but she was created to do the work that she is doing right now, and she does it so well. I have always looked up to her in regards to just her as being a good human, but also what she does and how she does it and the joy. You're gonna be able to feel the joy and the love of life through your wherever you're listening to this. You'll be able to feel it, I promise. She's awesome. She now works at on-site, and she also does some private practice stuff with adventure therapy, equine therapy, and all of that. So I'm going to put her info in the notes. If you want to get in touch with her, please do that. I am just sitting here as I didn't plan what I was going to say, but I'm sitting here thinking about I feel so lucky that the universe and God especially has put her in my life, because you will hear, I was not supposed to be an adventure therapist, and for some reason I was, and for some reason we were connected, and I'm very glad about that. So I'm not going to sit here and gush about my friendship with Megan. I'm going to let you listen to our conversation, and hopefully you guys learn a little bit about the power of adventure therapy, the power of the earth, the power of metaphor, and all of that. Love you guys. I will talk to you in 1 second. When the conversation comes in. So how about we get to it? Here is my conversation with my friend Megan. All right, guys, I'm here. This has been long awaited by me with my friend Megan. Say hi.
Hi, friends.
So I had asked Megan to be on the podcast many months ago.
Long
said,
time.
She said no. You legit just said no.
I did. N-O.
And oh yeah, she just said no. And then eventually she came back around. So was it after your friend texted you about it?
Yes, actually, that's exactly when. It was when my trusted friend spoke some wisdom into me, and she's like, podcasts are important and they're good, and I like this girl. And I'm like, shut up, I know this girl. Yeah. This is my good friend, Catherine DeFada. And that's how it happened, yes.
And then you're like, I guess I'll do it. So she's here by the grace of God. And we'll talk about how we met, but what we're going to do today is talk about adventure therapy, equine therapy, wilderness therapy, all those things. We've never talked about any of that, and it's really cool and it's really interesting, and it is something that I think a lot of people don't even know exists.
True.
So we're going to chat about that, but before, we're going to do a little story time where we talk about how Kat and Megan met and how they became friends and how Kat became an adventure therapist.
Please tell the story.
Well, also, you have to tell it part of the story.
Okay.
So we both worked at a treatment center. Most of you guys know that about me. Worked at a treatment center for a couple years, and I started as an intern, worked my way, got a job, blah, blah, blah. My dream job at the time, I went to grad school thinking that I wanted to be an eating disorder therapist at this place that I was working, and I got that job. Well, they created a position. From what I understood, they created a position for me and another previous intern that was this contracted position that would keep us there as therapists. So then when a spot opened up for a permanent position, we could have that. And mm-hmm. they were in the works of opening up some more programs that would open up space for more therapists. And I was under the impression that they wanted to open a men's eating disorder program, which I was so excited to do because I had worked with men and I also worked with eating disorders. And then I had my body image group for men there. I was on track to really do what I wanted to do. So then, you start working, and to be honest, I was internally struggling a lot with the job and the pressure and how hard it was and work-life balance. And I was not loving the reality of what my previous dream was. And I remember driving to work one day being like, I just wish I was on the adventure team because their job just looks so fun. Literally within that week that I'm like thinking that, I get an email from the director, she wasn't the clinical director, she's program director.
Program director.
Saying, hey, would you be interested? This is so weird. Would you be interested in applying for the adventure therapist position? And I said, heck yeah, I didn't even know there was an open position. So we scheduled an interview. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I remember the one question that I asked in the interview was, how do you handle inclement weather? And you said, I don't. I said, okay. And you said, also, I don't do bugs. And I'm not going kayaking.
I just want everybody to know, I am the least qualified at this point, probably the least qualified, and I probably make the least sense out of probably 80% of the staff at this treatment center to do this job.
You did.
I did not. I was a therapist. That was literally it. I don't like really being outside. I don't like dirt, like none of that. So, but I just really wanted to be an adventure therapist. But I'm thinking like, this is going to be awesome. I'm thinking this is going to be great. And I'm also like, so flattered that I was chosen out of all, not knowing a lot of really what was going on. So anyway, I get the, but how did you decide? Like what happened when I left the interview?
You want to know the truth? I've never said this. I don't think out loud. Here's the truth.
You had no option.
No, I think there was like two other people that may have interviewed, but you were not qualified. Not even close. And you answered incorrectly with everything. However, we did what we are doing now, which is we laughed, we jived, we got along, and you can feel your heart the moment that you walk into any room. And that's all you need.
Yeah.
And you're a phenomenal therapist. You were the perfect person for the job. I mean, like, think about how many people we're able to truly help.
Yeah.
How much we learned together, and how great of a team it was.
Yeah.
Like it was, I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Yes.
Minus the days that you would not do the sessions because you're like, I'm not kayaking and I'm not doing that. I'm not climbing that pole. I'm not one of those.
I climbed the pole.
That's true. You did. I take that back. You did.
I did not go kayaking.
It took some lovingly.
I did do that. So what happened? Just so you guys know, I did go to a training and like I passed and I like learned how to do the things, but
you were phenomenal.
I would not be able to have done all that stuff without you there. Like the therapy stuff was second nature to me, but the other stuff was like a foreign language.
Yeah.
All that to be said, the only reason that they actually offered me that job is because they're about to do a shit ton of layoffs and they didn't want me to get laid off. So they needed to put me in a permanent position. So that was why I even got the option to interview.
Right. But I'm so grateful that it was you. All that to be said.
And I didn't get laid off. Yeah.
No, it was great. And it was amazing and it was awesome and it was great. And here we are.
Yeah.
With, my gosh, you have your own practice, your own business, thriving. And look, I'm on a podcast with you. This is amazing.
Yeah.
You're so awesome.
We would have.
Well,
like, thank
you. This is huge.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
So for all of your listeners, what do you call them? Listeners, viewers? I don't even know.
I've never viewers, they can't see you.
Okay, well, listeners, all your listeners, if you haven't met her in person, then you really should because she's one of the best. Oh, that's you.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So thanks for having me. You're amazing. Yeah. Oh, and I'm so glad that you were an adventure therapist with me.
So if for anybody who's listened to a lot of the episodes, the one we did with Elena, we talked about somatic therapy. She was on our team.
Yes.
So
best year of our life. Ever.
My God. It was so, I mean, there are so many things I remember being annoyed with, but also you're annoyed with, there's parts of every job that are annoying, right? It was the most fun I think I've ever had in a job. And the reason I really even wanted to talk about adventure therapy on the podcast is because the stuff that we did was crazy and so meaningful and like life changing. And I think a lot of times what I struggled with is like, I wanted to do all of this like deep trauma work and all this stuff and whatever. And I didn't realize how important the things we were doing. I didn't realize how important that was and how much the things that we were doing with them just once a week were solidifying a lot of the other work that they were doing.
Or for some, it was the only time that they actually opened up got vulnerable, got into what was really going on inside, because it takes an experience, an adventure, an activity outside of an office setting, because not everyone, for myself,
processes the
especially
same way.
I don't process, like, your windows are closed. It's been freaking me out the whole time. I can't see outside, but it's you, so I feel comfortable here. But if it were anyone other than you and someone said, hey, Megan, sit down and be you, I would be so uncomfortable, because I process in the outdoors, outside, in movement. So adventure therapy can speak to some that other modalities can't.
Anyway, okay, so let's talk about what adventure therapy is.
Okay.
What is it first? And then we'll talk about how you got into it.
Yeah, for sure. So adventure therapy is a type of experiential therapy. If you think of experiential therapy as an umbrella, and under it, there's adventure therapy, equine therapy, psychodrama. And as you know, experiential therapy is focusing on the experience at hand. Adventure therapy, it is two parts. It's activity-based, and it's involving real or perceived risk. So it's an activity, it's an experience, and there is some type of risk involved. One of the godfathers of adventure therapy, Dr. Michael Gass, I have to say his name because he is like my mentor. He is who I learned a ton of stuff from. But he explained to me and taught me that the moment that a person gets out of their chair, in that moment, they're on an adventure. And the power of the metaphor comes into play of what they are doing in that moment. So some examples are hiking, kayaking, low ropes course activities, high ropes courses, zip lines, leap of faith, anything that involves an activity and is pushing someone out of their comfort zone. It can be done in an office setting or outside of it. You know that
even
best.
I don't know if you said this, but even like
team building games, problem solving, games, initiatives. It's activity based. And it presents an opportunity for people to use different parts of their brain that they're not normally going to use in a normal talk therapy session. And the principles that they learn in this silly little game, they then take outside of that activity and apply it to other parts of their life. You know, it helps so many different people. But for folks who struggle with sitting and talking, well, when they're playing kickball or when they're going for a hike or when they're trying to figure out this challenge with their teammates or when they're building a fort in the forest. You did not like that one, by the way. Fort building.
Oh, I hated that one.
Yeah.
That was a lot of dirt.
It was a lot of dirt. It was hot, ticks, mosquitoes, snakes. Yeah, you were not a fan of that. But primitive skills is huge. That's a whole other story. So yeah, adventure therapy, activity based.
Well, you know what I'm, what's coming to me is during the training, and I don't think I'm making this up, but during the training, I remember we would learn the different initiatives that we would be doing, and then we would practice them. And when we would learn them, we would actually do them. And after you do the actual activity, there's this a processing phase of it. There's always a processing phase. And one of the things that is said first when you're processing is, okay, what happened? And I think a lot of times when people look at some of the initiatives or activities that are done at an adventure therapy, they look at them as like, okay, so that's you're doing that, like you're doing the leap of faith, or you're doing that, I don't like a the 12 step walk,
or
you're
drawing doing, exercise.
You're doing that. You're just doing that. But what people don't realize is by doing that, you're allowing your brain to work a different way, which is allowing things to come up in a safe way. So I don't know if this is even going to make sense the way I'm saying it, but let's say you're doing some like team building, problem solving thing, and you get really frustrated and angry, and you, maybe you yell, or I don't know, maybe you cry, or maybe you, whatever you do, you're going to have a reaction to what's happening, and it's going to be pulling from other parts of your life, or where then you process it and you say, well, what happened? I got really mad because nobody was listening to me. Oh, okay. What did that feel like? Well, it felt like I wasn't important. Oh, okay. Is that a familiar feeling? Yeah, that happened a lot to me growing up. And it's like the safeness of it being such like a use the word like silly little game allows stuff to just come up where all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm talking about my mom when I was five. And like, I thought we were just doing this like puzzle. And it's like, but it allows people to drop into their bodies differently. So they're not just thinking logical left brain and trying to protect themselves their whole time. And that's why I loved doing it so much, is because there was an aspect of fun and like excitement, but there also was an aspect of vulnerability that we couldn't produce in just talk therapy.
Yeah. It gives folks the opportunity to drop the facade, and they often aren't even aware of it. because they're so engaged in what is at hand, whether it's climbing that wall or hiking this trail, or like you said, getting the golf ball from one end of the room to the other. Yeah.
Using their PVC
pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Using their PVC pipe. Yeah. They're so focused and so unaware that their body is reminding them of things that have happened and occurred in their past. Mm-hmm. And it gives them, like you said, the safe space to be able to process it. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some different parts of adventure therapy. So we've mentioned some of them, but let's like talk about them. And then I want to talk about some favorite memories. If you have any favorite stories, of actual things that have happened. Because what is wild, as an adventure therapist at where we were, we saw these people once a week, mm-hmm. where the other, they have a primary therapist and all this. All these other people are seeing them every single day. Mm-hmm. We saw them once a week. And sometimes they were only there for a month. So we saw them mm-hmm. four times. Mm-hmm. But I, over and over and over again, and I know this to be true because I worked in both on both sides, adventure therapy was people's favorite day.
Favorite, yes.
And they felt more connected to you and I than a lot of their primary therapists.
Yeah.
And I just think that's incredible because it's like we spend one day a week with these mm-hmm. people playing game. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some of the stuff that we do. So leap of faith, I think, is an important
one. Yeah, so high ropes elements. Yeah. So leap of faith is one of them. There's a high, there's high ropes courses, there's zip lining. But the leap of faith to me is just, it's the bread and butter mm-hmm. of adventure therapy. And there's lots of places around here that you can go and do that in national and big mm-hmm. cities. But I mean, as you know, for the folks who don't, you're climbing literally a 40-foot telephone pole or a tree mm-hmm. and you're strapped into a full body harness and you're on a belay cable and you climb up, you stand on a very, very small platform and you take a leap of faith and you jump off. And it's cool because the pole, the tree, it moves with you in accordance to your breathing. So for trauma therapists, it's a phenomenal exercise for us because we can teach our clients how the power of the breath is so important. Mm-hmm. And how we hold our breath when we're scared. And so when you get on the top, if you are breathing into the core through your feet into the ground, it will stop shaking.
Which is so crazy to watch happen.
It's so crazy. But if you're not breathing and you're scared out of your gourd, which was happened often, it can sway 4 feet, 6 feet side to side. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the power of the metaphor, putting especially a spiritual practice to it of what are you leaving behind? Mm-hmm. What are you jumping into? And you literally are jumping off this pole into the air, mm-hmm. trusting the system above you. Mm-hmm. Talk about the metaphor there. Trusting the person that has two hands on the rope, the belayer, one of us, the therapist, the facilitator, mm-hmm. the adventure guide, or sometimes mm-hmm. the clients themselves, if we taught them, and being lowered to the ground. It's when you put a physical experience to a metaphor mm-hmm. or a principle that you deeply want to practice in your life, it just makes it that much more impactful. And you're going to remember it mm-hmm. more so. I mean, the neuroscience shows that our brain likes to learn and think and communicate in metaphors. Mm-hmm. When we are being told metaphors, more parts of our brain light up than when we're just speaking in concrete communication, mm-hmm. black and white stuff. We like that.
Well, it's one thing to say, you're safe now. So a lot of people that are doing these, and it doesn't have to be this exaggerated, but a lot of the people that we were working with at that point that you still work with are the people who have gone through like mm-hmm. huge shock traumas, mm-hmm. like big trauma.
Big
and
stuff.
So it's one thing for me to sit in a room with somebody and be like, you're safe and I'm a safe person and like, you're okay. Mm-hmm. That is one thing. And like, sure, that might be helpful, but it's not going to change the actual pathways that have been created around how you view people and how you view safety. It's just not going to do that like that. But when you have an experience
yes.
of somebody saying you're safe and then you show them,
yes,
you are showing them. So they're hearing the words, I am safe. And then they're having the experience of, oh, I'm safe. They caught me. They said they were going to catch me and they caught me.
Right.
In our trauma, a lot of times what can happen is we have an experience and we have fear, might be the feeling that comes. So I feel fear. And so the thought with the fear is I'm not okay, or I'm going to die, or whatever it is. So then we are marrying that thought and that feeling together. So then you go through your life. And when you feel fear, you have that thought pop back up. Mm-hmm. And the reality is fear is a great emotion. We talk mm-hmm. about it all the time on here. Fear is an emotion that tells you that you care about things. It's an emotion that is able to keep you safe. It allows you to know when there is danger. And mm-hmm. the reason, I mean, talk about our nervous system and the threat defense system and all of that. Like, that is a good thing for us to have. We want to know when there's a threat. But when there is something that happens, oh, this could be a whole talk on the we'll do a whole episode on polyvagal theory.
No kidding.
But when you have a trauma or something that happens and you have the experience of not feeling safe and something bad happening and you're scared, your autonomic nervous system kicks on to keep you safe and to help you survive. But then if you don't actually process what's happening later after it's happened, if you don't actually process that stuff, that experience is still living in your body.
And you stay in it.
You're in it. And so you're not responding to old traumas. You're responding to the trauma that you're having now that's still in your body. And you're moving between not safety and fight, flight, or freeze. You're moving between like fight, flight, and freeze for a really long time. And what adventure therapy, specifically this initiative, does is it allows you to have that experience of, I'm freaked out of my mind.
Yep.
And then it also allows you to gain some control, because as you bring your breath in, yep. you're regulating your nervous system. And when you are exhaling slowly and breathing in slowly, you're actually calming yourself down mm-hmm. and not going into fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And then you have the experience of somebody looking at you saying, hey, I got you. I know it's scary. I got you. It's going to be okay. Trust me. Mm-hmm. And then you have the fear and then you do it anyway. And then you have the experience of, holy shit. Mm-hmm. They told the truth.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yep.
That person is safe. I can trust people.
Mm-hmm. You get your power back.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Well, that is what is going to shift a lot of people's actual belief systems. Mm-hmm. There's power in talk therapy. I do it all day. But that is why stuff like this is so important, because it's not just telling a story. It's, hey, I'm going to show you. And then we get to create new stories.
Right. It's huge. It's huge. It's like when people get to the top of that pole before they climb up it, I will now say, when they ask me, Megan, am I safe? And I'll say, I can't guarantee your 100% safety. I can't. Mm-hmm. There are things that I cannot control in this world. Just like there are things that you cannot control in this world. I cannot control if a lightning strike comes out of this beautiful blue sky, nor can you. Mm-hmm. But you have the power to make the decision, are you going to continue to climb up, knowing that what you can control mm-hmm. is now yours and rightfully yours, i.e. your breath, your voice, your choices, your yeah. body.
Well, because the other part is like, we don't force people to do it.
Right, no.
So so many people get to the top of that pole and they don't jump.
Yeah,
they tons. Sit there for like 30 minutes.
One time was an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh.
That's bad.
And then they decide to climb down.
Yeah, and that's totally great.
But that's also, I mean, that speaks to that. Whatever happens on that pole is what needs to happen on that yeah. pole is what yeah. I do know. Because for some people, it's more powerful to say, I don't want to do it. And for us to say, okay, let's get you right. down.
Right.
For some people, all they wanted to do is climb halfway up and then come down.
Yeah, we're gonna cheer just as loudly.
Yeah.
Or two steps up.
Yes, and so that's amazing. And then some people are like, well, I only wanna climb halfway. And then they start doing it. And then they're like, wait a second. No, I wanna keep going. But everything that's happening is their choice.
Right, right. Power of choice, yeah. For sure. Which most of our clients, yeah, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
For such a long time.
Yes.
For sure. So when do we make a new leap of faith?
I haven't done it in a long time. That week that we trained, I had to do it 5 times.
Dude, it's exhausting.
It's a actual physical,
it's like, very workout. Physical,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so that's leap of faith, and yeah, I could so talk about ropes. It forever,
yeah, me
but
too.
That is a huge one, and that's an adventure of some, I mean, an example of something that is done at adventure therapy. But mm-hmm. also, let's talk about the like let, because that's a huge one, and
right.
one that people actually right. like really look forward to doing, I think, a lot right. of times. But what about these like more like in like discreet,
yeah,
things?
Simple, like, you know, I have my private practice that I've used a whole 2 times in 3 years in my little office. I've literally used it twice because I meet people at a park and we're hiking and we're outside, or we're kayaking or we're canoeing. You know, couples in a canoe is phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's talk about a great experience.
My God.
And all the powerful metaphors in that one. But
like, what are some of those, like you said pipeline, but I'm trying to think of the other things.
So there's things that you can do. It depends on who you're working with. If it's a couples, you know, you can do different games or initiatives that are geared towards just two people. If it's a family, You can do essentially any sport or game that we play in society, you can turn it into an adventure therapy session easily, whether it's kickball or softball, basketball, soccer, whatever. I mean, you created one with your beautiful brain. Hold it together. It was phenomenal.
I used to remember what it was called.
Yeah. We gave everyone, every group got a big ball of yarn and different objects, whether it was toys or stuffed animals or a can of green beans. I'll never forget that. And the group had to create a web of some sort using this yarn, and they had to hold all the objects up on top of the yarn and move from point A to point B without the items falling through. And everyone had to have their hands attached. Sometimes they couldn't speak. Yeah. They couldn't use their voice. They had to use, you know, eye contact or body language. And they had to work together. I do that with families now. It's phenomenal.
You know what is so fun? What I remember is so often when we would do that, some people would be so excited to do it. And some were like, this is so stupid. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm spending $30,000 for this. Yeah. Yes. And you're like, we know. Just trust the process.
Yeah. But what is cool and the difference between something like that and something like the leap of faith is that's a whole different experience. Then you're really focused on like communication and like creativity and using your imagination and all that stuff
and play.
And a lot of times people's imagination and trauma gets like stuck. And so it's a really good even just exercise for them. But yeah, play, because a lot of people just talk about like reparenting and like healing the inner child part of you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what happens when we invite the inner child to come spend some time with you in treatment? Mm-hmm. And people are like, I don't want to do that. Like, it's like their child isn't allowed to show up, or acting like a kid is bad, or being a kid is bad, or play is bad, or having fun is bad. I mean, there's so much that can come out of like a game that I made up because it was like rained. I think it rained one day.
Yeah.
And we needed a rain plan. And I was like, okay.
No, it rained for like a month. And so we were doing rain activities every day, and we were running out of things.
That was like the worst part of the job.
Yeah. It's like, you can't control the weather. Yeah. Ooh, can we talk about that though? Because that's like one of my favorite parts of adventure is the other aspect of how powerful it is because it truly gives people the space to build the resiliency. Because if you are doing adventure therapy outside in not so great of weather, in conditions that you would normally not feel comfortable in, it's giving you the real life opportunity to expand your comfort zone. And when clients say, Megan, the weather is awful outside, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's raining, it's whatever, my response is typically, if you wait for the perfect day to change, you will never change. It's very simple. If it has to be the perfect condition for you to change, it's never going to happen. So let's do it now. And that usually gets them or they're...
Yeah, I love that, because how often have you read that or seen that or heard that? Mm-hmm. But then what, again, you're doing is you're taking that statement that you just said, and you're actually putting it into play.
Right.
You're like, oh, this is what people mean.
Right. Exactly.
Because think about addiction. Think about, I mean, any of that stuff. There's never going to be a good day to like get sober. Like,
There's never going to be a good day to, not go back to that same person or to not.
Or an easy day to get sober. Or there's never going to talk about like relationship addiction and stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. And the cycle of abuse, there's never going to be a perfect scenario when it's finally a perfect time to leave that partner that's toxic.
Right.
That's not going to happen. It's always going to be hard. There's always going to be something. But look, you can do it here while we're trying to, I don't know what you would be doing in the rain.
Kayaking.
Oh, kayaking. Oh God. I wasn't there that day.
No, you weren't ever.
I wouldn't have been there that day. There's never going to. Yeah. So you do it. You just do it anyway. You do it when it's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it can be good.
It's always good. Because when you come out on the other side and you see that, wow, I have a track record of surviving that thing that I thought was unbearable. Mm-hmm. You're doing something good for your body, for your brain, for yourself. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. It gives you a greater source of strength and well that you can tap into that you didn't think ever existed. Mm-hmm. That's what adventure therapy can do. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of touching into wilderness therapy, which you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, you know me, I have a huge bias towards wilderness therapy because there's nothing like it. I can't say that I do wilderness therapy here in Nashville because I'm not in a wilderness setting. Mm-hmm. Wilderness therapy is quite similar to adventure therapy, except for it is done in a wilderness setting. You got to be in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. I see your face right now. I know. Like, Kat's not going with me. One day she is. One day you're going to come to Montana.
I would do that. I wouldn't do that for a living. I would experience it as would. Yeah, I'd like to experience it.
Okay.
I can be outdoorsy.
You just said that to all of your listeners. I'm going to hold you to that. Yes, you can be outdoorsy. But you're like the perfect example of what you've experienced of going out there and doing these things and then what you feel on the opposite side. So yeah, wilderness therapy is a whole different beautiful modality in that you are truly disconnected from society, from technology, from the front country, from all the things that you thought you needed to feel comfortable. And you are really in a situation of, okay, what do I really need? Who am I really? And when you come out the other side, oh my gosh, there's nothing like it.
Well, also the ability to connect to yourself, the earth, your higher power, other people.
Yeah, the creator of creation itself. Yeah.
That, when you peel back all those distractions, like I don't know why I keep having this image as you're talking about it. I'm just like imagining myself like in a desert barefoot, like touching the ground and like feeling the heat of the earth.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
I know, but like that's the image I have in my head.
It's a good image.
Because what I'm thinking about is like the power of connecting and how connection is what heals a lot of our stuff, whether that's connection to people, connection to our spiritual side, connection to ourselves. Like connection is what everybody is really looking for. If we didn't have a lack of connection, we would not have an issue with addiction in our country, our world.
Totally. Like,
addiction is a product of a lack of a connection.
Yeah, the absence of connection.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that's what that is. And so if you can have a space and you have the opportunity to experience a space where connection is literally, you're surrounded by opportunities to connect.
Yeah.
Do that. So like one day I'll go do that. You don't have to go on one of these missions. You could just go outside and walk
it's
barefoot.
It's very simple.
Like you can go on a hike. You can notice the trees outside. You can look around. You can like feel the ground. You can put your phone down for an hour.
Intentional time outside does wonders for our brain.
Yeah.
Just Google health benefits of being outside.
Do you want me to Google it now?
You can. Thousands will come up because, you know, I've done it a gazillion times.
Disclaimer. I really love to harp on how we can't just Google everything. I'm
literally Googling. I know you are.
So this is not a trusted source.
Right. Right.
We'll find some trusted source. But the first thing that comes up is sitting outside can reduce blood pressure, lower heart rate, and decrease cortisol levels. When our bodies are outside, our body slows down. It helps us feel peaceful and calm. Okay. So without even knowing what the source is, we're not going to cite this because it's just from Google.
I'll be my own source.
But okay, because you would agree with this. What this is saying is going outside, feeling what the elements, it decreases cortisol, it lowers your stress level. So it's taking all of those things that get flooded into our body when we're experiencing any kind of trauma. It's helping us discharge some of that out.
Yes. If you look up anything by Gregory Bratman, Stanford, I mean, like, it's overwhelming. Look up Shinrin Yoku. That's Japanese for forest bathing. The research of when someone sits outside in a forest setting, in a green space setting for just 15 minutes a day, like you said, their blood pressure decreases. Their cortisol levels decrease. They have a more heightened sense of self, creativity. It's staggering.
Like, why are we not doing that, though?
That's a whole other story. Well, okay, we'll go down the road. In 2008, I believe, 2008, Homo sapiens became a predominantly more urbanized species. So up until 2008, we naturally lived in a more rural setting. But now more people live in an urban setting. So connection to nature and green space and getting outside is more difficult than it's ever been. And by 2070, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but something like 60 to 70% of humans will be living in an urban setting. You can look that one up. But it's becoming more and more distant. But the good news is there's more research dumping into why we need to be outside, why we need to go outside. And there are cities. I mean, if you just look around Nashville, go to downtown Chicago, there is so much green space in cities now. Every major hospital, if you walk through it, there's plants, nature scenery, the sounds, floral life, it's so important.
Houseplants are becoming a real
huge
trendy thing.
Very.
And you know what? They're cute and I have a lot of them in my house too, but that should be a reason why they're getting more popular. Not because they're cute and trendy and cool. No. They make a cool Instagram picture, but because it actually helps you connect more.
Right, right. Yeah. The cool thing about the outdoors is I love how God did this. I don't have to really understand exactly how it works or even believe that it works, but PET scans, fMRIs, science shows that it helps our brain and we need it. But the trick is, not the trick, the key is it has to be intentional.
Yeah.
You can't be sitting outside scrolling on your social media. You can't have your phone in front of you. You have to turn the screen off and literally be intentional outside. Mm-hmm. Some people are probably like, why are they talking about nature when we're talking about adventure therapy? Because they often go hand in hand. You know, adventure therapy often occurs outside, but it can still be done in an office setting. It's just...
Well, it's an element of it.
Yes.
Regardless, yeah, and it's a very important element of it. And it is, I mean, we now have this running joke going through this episode of like Kat not being outdoorsy. There's a difference. And I do want to say, because there's plenty of people that are probably listening being like, I don't like
you don't the have dirt to be either. Outdoorsy.
And I don't like bugs and I'm not good at hiking. That's not even what we're talking about.
Nope.
I'm talking about like open your front door and stand outside for like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like feel the sun. Like you don't have to go to Megan's wilderness therapy. You can, and that's awesome, but that's not
you don't
gonna,
have to do
not
that.
Everybody's
right.
gonna be able to or that might seem too much, so go on a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody can go on a walk.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody can go on a walk, but if you're able to go on a walk, go on a walk.
Right.
Like that,
plant a mini garden.
Yes.
Grow an herb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learn how to cook with rosemary. Yeah, all those things. Natural light, yes. I mean, just
opened the blinds.
It's fascinating, but have you looked up research in recidivism rates in prison systems? And when they bring nature, animals is one thing, but when they bring horticultural therapy into it, bird sounds, natural sounds over the PA system, it is unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure there's some wonderful documentary out there on it. I just don't know what it's called. I'm going to look it up. Yeah, there's a lot of research on it. It's fascinating.
Yeah. I'm glad we went down that because we're talking about some adventure therapy. You guys might not all be ever in a place where you're going to go do that, or you maybe you will, maybe you won't, but everybody can go feel the earth.
Yeah.
Everybody can do that. And there's a benefit to that just as much as there's a benefit to these team building games or
totally.
The leap of faith. This is something that you can do every day for yourself.
Yes. Just be intentional about it.
Yeah. Now, before we run out of time, I do, and it's okay if you need to think on this. I want to know if there's a story of a client or a day or some experience that you've had, like some of your most memorable moments. I'm going to think of mine too.
Well, the first story for me that comes to mind is there was a client, and this might seem a little obvious, but they had a significant fear of water because they'd almost drowned when they were a child. And so going on the water was their absolute terror. And witnessing and being able to walk alongside them, literally down to the water, and being alongside them in the boat with them and just holding space and co-regulating with them for them to see that the thing that was the most scariest in the world to them, they were able to enjoy it. It was a roller coaster of emotion, as you can imagine. A lot of stuff came up. But seeing them just be released from fear. I don't know how to put words.
Yeah.
I'm bad at this. This is where I struggle. I can't put to words what I get to experience or see in front of me because
yeah.
I just get to feel it. So it's hard for me to put to words what I feel, which is kind of funny as a trauma therapist.
But that's the point, though. That's the point of like, there's the healing that happens in these kinds of spaces isn't about what somebody said. It's not about what somebody said.
It's what they experienced.
It's about what they're feeling,
right.
And what they're experiencing. And so you get to watch somebody. They might not say anything, but you get to watch somebody go from petrified out of my mind to calm, or like,
right,
and joyful, or
yeah,
whatever. You get to
proud.
Watch that. Yeah.
Yeah, healthy sense of pride. Yeah,
yeah.
The other one that comes up, this just came to mind. I can still see this image. You and I are similar in that we have images that just kind of flash in front of us, you know? I was taking a group of kids in Virginia backpacking, and it was just a one night. It was an overnight. And even if you don't want to do an overnight because that seems like too much, you can just do a day hike. Mm-hmm. But this kid, he had some significant anger issues, rightfully so, was dealt a pretty hard hand. It was a group of 8 students and myself and another facilitator, and it was just horrendous downpour and it was so cold. I mean, it was miserable. It takes a lot for me to say it was miserable. It was miserable. And we were in the Blue Ridge Mountains and he sat down on the trail and that was it. He was not moving. He was not going to take another step forward. Well, the issue is that we have to get from point A to point B to be picked up and there's seven other students. So
we have to move.
Yeah, we got to move. We got to keep going. And he took his pack off and that was it. And so I remember walking back and sitting next to him. And instead of telling him what to do, I wanted to validate him, give him the choice that he got to make. He got to decide if he moves forward or not. And I just said something along the lines of, you don't have to keep walking. You can sit here. And as long as you sit here, I'm going to sit next to you. And that was it. And it gave that beautiful child the chance to say, you know what? This is my life. And I'm going to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be with my friends. And I'm going to and I'm going to keep going. And seeing him let go of some of his anger.
Well, yeah, because what you're talking about is, let's say that one of the things that subconsciously you might be struggling with due to your own story and your experience and your trauma is the lack of having a choice at some point. Mm-hmm. That can manifest in so many different ways, which is a side note of why I get so annoyed with, which I've been talking about a lot on the podcast and social media, about I get annoyed about how social media and people out there can really water down trauma and tell you that, like, because you do this, this, you do this. That's one of the reasons why that annoys me, is because your experience can manifest in different ways depending on your temperament and all of that.
It's so unique, individualized.
Yes. So let's say that not having choice was a part of your story and it manifests in different ways. Okay. So what I'm imagining happening in that moment is a lot of times there's some rebellion to authority.
Yes.
Because of not having a choice. And so it's like I feel like I have to assert my power in this certain way to maintain safety and protect myself. Mm-hmm. And even if somebody is asking you to do something that you might want to do or you don't really have a problem with, your body and your mind creates issues with that out of that protection. So where you're sitting with him, he probably does the sense of him. It's like, yeah, I want to be with my people. I want to finish this. I want, mm-hmm. but because it feels like he has to, then mm-hmm. there becomes that part of him that wants to pull away.
Yes.
And what you did when you sat with him, instead of sitting there and being like, giving him all of the reasons why he should go or all of the things that he should do, or instead of trying to change his mind, you're saying, I'm going to wait with you until you decide what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's now opening up that idea that, like, I get to choose something. And yeah, that's what everybody else is doing, but I'm choosing to do it. I'm not doing it because what everybody else is doing. I'm not doing it because somebody told me to. I'm doing it because I have a clear picture of what's ahead of me and I am choosing that.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Perfect sense.
I just think that's cool. And I think that, like,
which is also the theme of venture therapy, not to cut you off, but
yeah,
that's the theme of venture therapy. It's the power of your choice. Mm-hmm. You get to choose mm-hmm. if you participate or not.
That brings up a lot of memories. People just not wanting to do stuff.
Yeah.
And like, to be honest, humans are beautiful people.
They are.
I love people. Let's just put that out there before I say this. But some of the clients we worked with, not their fault, were real assholes. They could be mean.
They could be, but
good people, yes. Deep down.
Yes, beautiful people.
Yes,
just and that's they were in their wounding.
Yes,
talking from their wounding.
Yeah, people that so it just came out love. A little bit. And so, yeah, I say that I don't want anybody hear me saying something negative about traumatized humans. With that being said,
yes,
people did not want to participate in some, like, we're talking about all of, like, the good parts of, like, it was people's favorite days and blah blah blah. Some people dreaded it, and thought everything we did was dumb.
Yeah. Gave us the middle finger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, especially when...
Ran away.
Yes, there's also yes, that. Running away in the middle of a... Oh, my God. But, like, also, like, in the middle of a game that's so silly
yeah.
to some people.
Right.
But in the middle of a game that's a simple game. What was it called? The 12-step walk mm-hmm. or with the blocks? Mm-hmm. So there's this
oh,
one
stepping,
initiative...
Stepping stones.
So there's one initiative where you have these, like, wood planks. And I'm not going to explain the whole game, but it's really difficult. And you have to find a way to get your team from one side to the other without touching the ground, without breaking certain what rules. And there's things that you do in the middle of the game that make it harder when they mess up.
Yeah.
It was uh-huh. the worst. I remember, like... I don't know if it's me, you or Elena, but like whenever we had to remove a block from somebody, I remember being like, you do it this time, you do it this time, because people would get pissed and yell at you and tell you that you're dumb and you're stupid and blah, 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 blah. And you know, it's all part of the process. And then you get to talk about what happened, what was brought up? Like, what did that remind you of? What did that feel like? How old did you feel when I took that from you? I felt like I was 8 years old. Well, what happened when you were eight? And then all of a sudden there's like tears and it's like, oh, so what happened is since you were eight, your nervous system has been locked in this one area because you haven't processed what really happened. And then all of a sudden that reminded you of that experience and it got turned on. You responded to protect yourself, but you actually didn't need to protect yourself because right now you're safe. You see where I'm going with that? Yep. Like, so freaking cool.
So yeah. Everyone thinks it's all fun and games being an adventure therapist.
And it is.
And it really is.
Yeah. There's also more to it. Okay, so now that we've kind of explained adventure therapy, talked about it, and described kind of what can be done and what it looks like, I want to also talk about quickly who this can be for, because I think what we've been talking a lot about is the experience that we've had working in a treatment center setting. Yeah. But adventure therapy also, like we were talking about, when it comes to just going outside, can be for anybody. So can you talk a little bit about, like, one, who really is this for, and two, how do people even access this? Like, who does this stuff?
Adventure therapy is for anyone that wants to learn more about themselves, maybe learn some tools they can use in their everyday life. It does not have to be for people who are in counseling already or who are in treatment. It can be for the everyday, normal, high-functioning, resilient human being who wants to improve their communication skills within their relationships. Mm-hmm. It can be for folks who want a challenge, who are bored and need to get a little woken up in their everyday life to just the mundane routine.
You could be asleep to what's not working for you in your life.
Yes.
And what these experiences will wake you up because of the metaphor, because of the feelings that might pop up while you're doing something that you actually might not really care about this activity in the grand scheme of life. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that feeling popping up then? Because what is it touching? So it's a great way to be woken up to what actually is not working in your life.
Yeah, to become aware of.
It's very, very easy to fall asleep to issues in our world because our world is so set up to distract us.
Yeah.
People make so much money off of distracting you from your life. Our culture is set up to make money from distracting you from actually being present. And so this is a beautiful way to pull yourself back up. So it's for everybody.
Yeah, wonderfully said.
Now, not everybody's community is going to have adventure therapy.
Right, right.
So if you want to get involved, like the stuff that you do, can anybody go to those on those things, or is it like...
So I do adventure therapy in my own practice, you know, as an addictions counselor. There are other therapists that they are trauma therapists, but they also do adventure therapy. And so you can request an adventure therapy session. The adventure is the programs I lead for Onsite. Onsite is a phenomenal organization. It's an emotional wellness retreat center 45 minutes west of downtown Nashville, and we offer many different types of workshops for either individual intensives or families or couples. We have a residential long-term program called Milestones at Onsite. It's an amazing, incredible trauma therapy program for adults who need to take a break from their everyday life and really get down and deep into what's going on inside. Oh my gosh. Yes. You just pulled it up on the website. There's my
your face.
Big old smile. Yeah. And then Onsite Adventures, we do adventure therapy at Onsite in our individual intensives and our workshops and also at Milestones. But then we have our equine therapy adventures, which are done in the backcountry of Montana, which, as you know, I am very partial to. We do that every June. And then we go to Colorado to an incredible dude ranch called Lost Valley Ranch. It's gorgeous and amazing.
Up.
Yes, it is coming up. Yeah, there's one in October. There's one for couples in May. And it's an experience of a lifetime. And that is equine therapy based, both those programs. So lots of different resources, lots of different avenues. I'm very blessed to be working at Onsite, for sure.
Okay, I like want to go to this Colorado trip.
You would love Colorado. You would thrive. You would love that.
As long as I don't have to.
You have a cabin.
Okay.
With a Keurig.
I don't want to sleep in.
No. Yes. Yes. That's you. Yeah.
I was going to say, I just don't want to sleep in a tent.
No. Montana's tent primitive. It's phenomenal. Colorado, you have a fireplace, your own front porch, hot shower.
I'm signing up.
Oh, please sign up. Oh my gosh. Please sign up. Okay. But sign up as a co-therapist. That'd be so fun.
Is that an option?
Well, not if you're not, no, it's probably not, actually. Yeah. This takes me back to our first interview. No, you're not qualified because you're not an equine therapist, but I'd love to have you as a client.
Full circle.
Let's just go as friends.
Okay. All right.
Oh, this has been
that
too fun.
That speaks to, we're not going to go on this tangent, but I'm going to bring it up. Staying in your lane as a therapist.
Yes.
Like, I'm not an equine therapist, so I'm not going to pretend like I am, and I'm not going to host an equine therapy anything. I will definitely suggest people do it.
Can we do another podcast on equine therapy? Because yeah, we didn't get to talk
about
that
at all.
It's very important. Okay,
so
great.
We will. All right, well, that kind of wraps it up. So one, thank you. This was fun.
This is so fun.
This was a nice episode because it really was just like friends talking about things that they care about.
Yeah. And but also talking about things that matter, that yes. work, that help people, mm-hmm. that we have experience in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, takes me back. All right. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening. I'm really sad to report this, but you can't find Megan anywhere.
That's not true.
You don't have social media. I mean, you have Facebook, but you don't want that. That's
well,
not.
Yeah, I do have a private practice, but if they can always just email
so
you.
So how could, well, no, they need, if they want to contact you, if you want to work with Megan, then like, first of all, do it. I honestly wish that. I don't really wish this, but I wish there was another you that was exactly you that I didn't know that wasn't my friend so I could like do that stuff with you.
That's the best compliment ever. Thank you. I know what you're saying. And vice versa.
You're like, it didn't make sense.
No, no, I know exactly what you're saying, actually.
So well, then how can people find you?
Yeah, they can email me. It's thewindinfo@gmail.com. The wind, WIND, that stands for Wellness in Nature's Domain. Yeah, my mom thought of that. Fancy. Yeah. thewindinfo@gmail.com.
Okay. Beautiful. And you're in the Nashville area.
Yes.
That's important to note.
Yes. But I travel to folks like if they are in Colorado and they want to do a
so if you're interested, just email her because who knows what you could.
Who knows?
Who knows what you could figure out. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being yourself. And
thanks, friend.
And I will talk to all of you guys on Wednesday for Couch Talks. If you have questions, honestly, if you have questions about any of this stuff, email them to me, Catherine@unitherapypodcast.com. Because if there's a question that I can't answer that is for you, then I'll just get you on a Zoom call and we'll answer it for you guys.
Perfect.
So do that. And I will talk to you guys on Wednesday. Have the day you need to have. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.